and amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. I charge thee, Paul said to Timothy, his young preacher boy, he said, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's come. That's here. It's here right now.
Amen.
It's here.
Amen.
I assure you that. If you don't believe me, look America's pastor, Joel Osteen, in the face, and you'll see that it's here. He brought it to pass. America's pastor ain't that a bunch of baloney. It says, they will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now look back at Isaiah chapter 58, if you will, and verse 1. Isaiah 58 and verse 1. Cry aloud, God tells the prophet here, Isaiah, spare not. What he's saying there is show no mercy. That's exactly what he's saying. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people, God's people, their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. I'm going to bring you a message today. And I've put much thought in on this message this week. And I want you to hear it. I want you to listen to it on this thought this week on why I preach hard. Why I preach hard. Not mean now, but hard. There's a difference in being a mean preacher and a hard preacher.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'll guarantee you that. And you'll feel the difference. You'll feel the difference. Spirit of God will bear witness with you. I'll assure you he will. Amen. I'll guarantee you he will. He always does. And I want to preach to you on why I preach hard. Someone said you'll never have a big church. Brother Duncan, I've had that said to me several times, but I'll say this, and Brother Don Fitch told me this, I'll have a good one. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
They said if you preach hard, you'll never have a big one, but I'll have a good one. I'll assure you that. Amen. I find out that most of these preachers that stand for something, that preach hard against sin, that hate sin, that hate anything really that comes against the Word of God, rarely have big congregations, rarely exceed 100 members. Amen. Rarely exceed 100 members. I'll assure you of that. That's the truth. And someone told Billy Sunday back many years ago when he preached his great tabernacle meeting. He said, Bill, said you rubbed the fur the wrong way. He said, tell the cats to turn around then. Amen. And that's what we want to do. We want people to turn around, though. That's repentance. That's what he was talking about. Tell them to turn around.
Amen.
Now, I'll keep rubbing the fur the wrong way until I see people turning from their sin.
Praise the Lord.
And when you get people to turn from their sin, and you get them to turn from their sin by rubbing them the wrong way.
Right.
I'm talking about preaching the Word of God and touching on the things that they're hiding from, and things that they don't want discovered in their life. Amen.
Amen.
You've got to bring them to that place where they see the wickedness of it and see the dishonoring where God's concerned of it and get them to see their need to turn from it. Amen.
Amen.
That's what Brother Sunday was talking about when he said, tell the cats to turn around. I'm reading, and I shared this with you here a while back. I'll use it again. But I'm reading the life and sayings of Sam P. Jones, written by his wife, the old Methodist evangelist and pastor back before the turn of the century. His ministry started in the 1870s, and he preached on up till he died sometime in the 1920s, I think it was. He died fairly young. He was about 60 years old when he died. But anyway, he's a great preacher, did a great ministry to all the United States. But anyway, said that he preached a meeting out in Kansas City, Kansas one time. And said the great church there, big church there, had a great meeting going. And after the first 3 or 4 days of preaching, said the hierarchy of the church got Brother Jones aside and said, now, Brother Jones, we brought you out here to preach to these lost, hell-bound sinners around Kansas City here to try to get them saved, keep them going to hell. And all you've done is preach to our church members. He said, well, I never scald hogs because the water gets hot.
Amen.
Amen. I think that's a good saying. Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee you the Bible says that judgment starts at the house of God.
Amen.
And if God's people aren't right,
Amen.
You're not going to get sinners converted.
That's right. right.
I guarantee you're not. Spirit of God's not going to work in the midst of a rebellious church that's talking and nitpicking and cutting down on the pastor and not taking their part in everything in the house of God the way they ought to.
Amen.
It's a truth, man. It really is. Amen. And I think that's really good logic how he answered that, don't you?
Amen.
Now listen, my friend, I preach hard. I do. I've preached hard ever since God called me to preach. I have. I was saved under a hard preaching preacher. And I was indoctrinated that way. Amen. To preach hard. And take a stand for God. You take a stand for God, it's a hard stand. Amen.
Right.
The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard.
Right.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, listen, he said it's hard for him, and it ought to be hard for him. Whether he's saved or whether he's lost, if they're transgressing the word of God, it ought to be hard for them.
Amen.
We shouldn't make it easy for someone that transgresses the word of God. I should never make it easy for a member of this church or any other church that's transgressing the word of God. I mean, that's doing that which is not right in the sight of God. I know from my own family, I'll assure you of that. I heard some little old back talk, you know, over the months that my family does this or that. I will tell you something. I'm harder on my family than I'm on any of you all. Always have been. I'm their example. I want them to be a good example.
Right.
Amen. I take a stand in my home. Always have. Take one of them since way back before I was ever a pastor, I took a stand as a layman. I sure did, and I believe you ought to. Amen. I guarantee you ought to. And I preach hard because God said for me to preach hard. His word tells me to preach hard. We've already read over there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, how a preacher is supposed to conduct himself, how that Paul charged Timothy, how he's to reprove, rebuke with all long-suffering and doctrine. Amen. And then look here in Isaiah 58:1. I've taken this for my anchor point, my main text. Isaiah 58, verse 1, he said, cry aloud. Well, that takes care of the loud preaching right there, doesn't it?
Amen.
I mean, if a preacher wants to cry, if he wants to preach loud, he's very biblical on doing so.
Amen.
Right.
If a preacher wants to preach low and mild, that doesn't bother me that much either. Amen. It's like Brother A.C. Durham said, it's not the thunder that touches the people, it's the lightning.
Amen.
Amen. That's the truth, too. So you can get lightning in, you can get lightning on a calm night, too. You know that? I've seen lightning when it didn't thunder at all, haven't you?
Right.
And so thunder doesn't get the job done. Lightning gets the job done. But he said, here, cry aloud. God wants you. He wants us to lift your voice up and cry aloud. He said, spare not. Don't show any mercy. That's what he said. He said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Now, I guarantee you, that's loud, isn't it? I assure you it is. Now, old George Whitfield had to preach, and he preached in pasture fields back in the 1700s. See, the churches wouldn't hold his crowd, and most of the churches didn't want his preaching anyway in England, so he went to the meadows and to the pastures, to the fields, and he'd have high as 10,000, 15,000 come out to hear him preach. And you know, he had to have a terrific voice. I read Benjamin Franklin said one time he stepped off, I forget how far, to get away and see how far his voice would carry. I'm telling you something like, I don't know, a quarter of a mile that old George Whitfield's voice would carry. He had such a voice. Amen. That would fit him perfect, wouldn't it? To lift his voice up like a trumpet. And he said, and show my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Now, I think that's as good a charge for the man of God as you'll find in the Word of God here in Isaiah chapter 58 and verse 1. How in the world could you argue with that? Well, then I'm telling you, loud-mouthed preachers that'll stand up and make the people aware of their sin are condemned, I guarantee you, by the thousands.
Amen.
They don't want to hear that. They want that Joel Osteen approach. They want that Robert Shuler approach.
Oh, boy.
That's what they want today. I'm telling you, a lot of Baptists want that kind of preaching. They do.
Right.
I'll assure you that you can feel the building of that kind of preaching.
Right.
Yep. You can. I guarantee you can. Just don't rock the boat.
Yeah.
I mean, you're on a serene lake, and you're in your canoe, and they're in yours. Don't make any ripples.
Yeah.
You want to just sail right along with them with a breeze, and that's what most people want today. That's not what the Bible teaches.
Yeah.
That's certainly not what the... Now, I don't believe in mean preaching, unless you're being mean with the devil. And I don't think we can be too mean with the devil, and I'll get on that point here in just a moment. But I believe that God wants hard preachers. I do. I believe the Word of God teaches that Jesus preached hard. You whitewashed sepulchers, outside you make it pretty and white, and inside full of dead men's bones. You tell me that's not hard.
Amen.
Jesus is a hard preacher, I guarantee you.
Right. Amen.
He preaches harder than anybody ever preached.
Right.
Amen. John the Baptist was a hard preacher. I guarantee he didn't mouth around with old Herod when he said, you adulterer, you taking your brother's wife. He said, you're an adulterer. You're an adulterer. He lost his head because of it, but he told him, didn't he?
Right.
Amen. Old Bob Carrico told me one time, said he was down in North Carolina, I think it was, or South Carolina, might have been. He was preaching a meeting. And on the second night of the meeting, he said, that back about 18 years ago. Boy, he used to be, you talking about rough, buddy. He was really rough back 18, 20 years ago. But Bobby's been preaching me since he started. He was preaching me when everybody around here quit fooling. They wouldn't even let him in the door. And I kept him. I let him go ahead and preach for me.
Amen.
Bother me. And it couldn't get too hard. Honestly, it ain't no vulgarity or anything in the preaching. Uh-huh. I don't mind it. Let them preach hard as they want to preach.
Amen.
If they're preaching against sin, they're in the same battle I'm in. Amen. Right. They're fighting a low down devil. And somebody out there beating a snot out of you, and they come up and say, would you like a little help? I said, well, just be gentle with him, would you? And you say that? No, you wouldn't. Just don't hurt him. No, you say, beat him hard and get him off of me.
Amen.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Amen. Kick him, claw him, whatever. He's killed me. Get him off. That's the way I feel about a man of God that preach against the devil.
Right.
We're in the same battle. If he can hurt that thinking rascal, I mean, if he can do more damage to him than I can, then let him do it.
Amen.
I don't see anything wrong with that. Amen. Not one thing wrong with it. Well, Bobby was picking them up and laying them down in that church. And, I mean, buddy, he preached on everything except the gravel in the parking lot. He probably got that for the weeks out. He said, but he went home that night to his trailer, or his bus, he was staying in, and said, here come 4 or 5 men wanting to take him out of there and wire him out, buddy. They wanted to whip him, threatened to hurt him because of what he'd been preaching on.
Yeah.
And it got so rough that the preacher finally told Bobby, he said, I think you better pull up and leave out, get out of here. He said, it's getting pretty bad. He said, you really upset a bunch of them. That really would have been the time just hang in there, really.
Yeah.
It would have. Amen.
Yeah.
And trust the Lord.
Oh,
it would have been the time just
hang
in there. But, and Bobby was a fairly young evangelist then too, I think. But anyway, he called little brother Albert Harden, who is a high stripper, buddy. And told little Albert Africa in South Carolina. Said brother Harden said I've been preaching up here at such church today. Just told me to leave. He said, for preaching. He said, could I come over there and park at your place for a while? He said, you come over here. And he said, I'll run you off if you don't preach. Amen. That's the way it ought to be.
Yeah.
Amen. You ought to preach. Preachers ought to preach. Deacons ought to deed, and trustees ought to be able to be trusted. Say amen right there.
Right.
Amen. That's right. The church ought to belong to the Lord the way God wants it to.
Right.
Amen. In John chapter 1 and verse 23, John the Baptist said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to tell you, a man of God that stands up and preaches hard, I'm talking what Jesus told him to preach.
Right,
we've got it all right here, what we're supposed to preach.
Amen.
If he preaches hard, amen, without any compromise, he'll be like that. He'll be a voice crying in the wilderness.
Amen.
There will be many coming to his aid, I guarantee you that. A lot of the preachers won't have anything to do with him.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Larry Raines, great preacher, preached here. Wasn't one of these low-down scoundrel preachers come out here to this meeting.
Right.
Not a one of them. Not a one of them got their men together and brought them out. Amen. Oh, if somebody had been up here from the sword of the Lord, they'd have brought everybody. Well, they'd have churches would have come from all over the world today.
Right.
Am I right? Say amen. Right. Why, sure they would. They don't want to hear hard preaching. I tell you exactly what they don't want. Amen.
Amen.
They don't want it. And it's like the voice of one crying in the wilderness, a man of God that'll preach hard and stand up for what Paul told his young preacher boy, Timothy, how he told him to stand. You take that stand as a preacher, and you'll feel just like John, one crying in the wilderness. You say, preacher, why do you have to preach so hard? I'm glad you asked me that. I'm going to try to answer. Number one, hard-hearted hell-bound sinners to preach to.
Amen.
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 The world's full of them.
Yeah.
Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go there in Jesus.
Right.
So we've got plenty of hard-hearted hell-bound sinners to preach to. But it's hard. Get out there and knock on some doors with me sometime. And just knock on doors at random and see how hard it is.
Right.
You just see how hard it is. See how they talk to you. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. They're full of the devil as they can be.
Amen.
The only thing they want to do, and I used to be just like them years ago, maybe not as hard as some of them, because I always had I'd always been talked to by my grandparents about the Lord, and I always had a little bit of concern and about Christians and about preachers, and I wouldn't, you know, I tried to conduct myself in the right way when I run, but you've got some people out here, they don't care. They'll tell you anything. They'll cuss you. They'll turn their dogs loose on you. They don't care. I'm telling you,
you're right,
they're hard-hearted.
Yeah, man.
And me, and it's getting worse and worse and worse all the time around this area. Say amen. That's the truth.
Right.
That's the truth. And the young people are so wicked, and a bigger part of them are on dope. They don't know where they're coming or going. I think we're living in a sin-sick society.
Amen.
Oh, it's terrible. You tell me the preacher ain't supposed to preach hard. He's supposed to name that sin. Amen.
Right.
Get them to see that what they're doing is sin. I'm not saying tell a drunkard he's drunk. He knows he's drunk. You just need to tell him what wickedness and drunkenness brings, that comes out of drunkenness. That's what you're going to preach on that. Amen. And, a harlot knows they're a harlot. You don't have to tell them they're a harlot. They know that. You need to show them the wickedness of it.
Right.
We need to show them the wickedness of it. Amen. Of the Word of God. And what God thinks about it. And what will come out of it later on. I made a statement here a while back, and I'll make it again. It breaks my heart to see all these little half-white and half-black babies everywhere.
Right.
I don't like it. I'll tell you right now, I don't. And don't you look at me like that. I don't condone it.
Amen.
I'm a white man. They're black. I'll stay in my race, and they need to stay in their race.
Amen.
That goes for both sides.
Right.
I want to show you what comes out of it. They have a part white baby, and when that child gets up bigger, neither side wants it.
Right.
It goes through his entire life being condemned to look down on it.
Right.
Even those that treat it right still look down on it.
Amen.
Right.
Would you want one of them to marry one of your children, even though they got white in them? You wouldn't, would you? Come on now, I'll be truthful. You see what comes out of it?
Yeah.
Tell me, preacher, need to preach out against that stuff.
Amen.
I'm not going to condone it. I'm here to teach you right now. Praise
right, preacher.
It's wrong. The Bible says let everything come after its own time. If God had wanted us to mix up, buddy, he'd have made us all the same color. Say amen right there. He wouldn't have made some of us black, some brown, some white, some yellow. He wouldn't have done that. Hey, man, he just made a technicolor, man. Put them all in one. Let them all marry. Have all the colors on them.
Yes,
that's not what it's supposed to be. That kind of stuff needs to be preached out on.
Amen.
Well, people don't want it.
Right.
Well, I guarantee you, I go in some of my brethren, some of the independent Baptist churches I know of, some of them, and preach like this. I'd never step back behind their podium again. I'll guarantee you, I wouldn't even want to hear no more of that.
Amen.
You know why? A lot of them got those children in their congregations. They have.
Amen.
That's their heart. They have. They need, that needs to be preached out on. Amen.
Sorry.
It certainly does now. God, I don't think God's pleased with that. I believe I can back it up with the Word of God. I do. Now,
Amen.
See, that's what gets hard. You say, I don't agree with that. But here's the thing. If it's the Word of God, it doesn't matter whether you agree with it or not.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
And there, right there is the place where you need to settle in.
Yep.
You need to dig in. Amen. Dig your spurs in. And say, I know it don't sit right with me, but God said it, and I'm going to have to settle with it. I'm going to have to go ahead and believe it, and believe it, and trust in it, and go with it. That's how we grow in the Lord.
Amen.
But if you go through your life as a type of Christian, that everything that's preached, regardless if it's the Word of God or not, you don't agree with it, you're never going to get anywhere with the Lord. You'll never grow in the Lord.
Amen.
You'll never have any touch of God on you. I'll hear you that.
Amen.
Oh, the hard-hearted sinners that we... hell-bound sinners that we have to preach to. Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is.
Amen.
Desperately wicked. Well, I tell you what, it's hard to preach to old hard-hearted people. It is.
Amen.
Very hard. Listen, in Jeremiah 23:29, God said, is not my word like a hammer that breaketh a rock in pieces? Now, how are you going to preach? How are you going to use that scripture there in your preaching if you're not swinging that old King James hammer as hard as you can swing it?
Amen.
I mean, if you had a rock out here and if you want to bust it up, it's in your yard, maybe it's sticking out of your yard, you want to bust it up, you're going to take a sledgehammer right there or you're going to take your little tack hammer out there? I'm going to bust this thing up, I can get it eventually. Well, you'd be there forever, you wouldn't even make a dent in it. No, you get you about a 9-pound hammer, a 14-pounder, I like. You get out there and you swing that thing, buddy, the way you need to swing that thing, there won't be no time you'll bust that thing up.
Right.
Amen.
Amen. I tell you, take your little New American Standard hammer, or your little Good News from Modern Man hammer, or your Dr. Taylor paraphrase hammer, your Living Bible hammer. I think Joel uses the New American Standard hammer. He likes to tap with his little hammer. Raiders were loose in that crowd out there with an old King, old 1611 King James hammer. And let him swing that thing with all the might God will give him. And you watch that bunch bust up out there.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, he'll bust that whole mess up out there, Brother Tom.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Like old Brother Roloff said, I didn't come to make you feel good. I came to make you do good.
Amen.
Amen.
And so he's out there for making them feel good so they can make his wallet feel good. His bank book feel good. That's what he's doing. We got scripture on that.
Amen.
Amen. Peter said, many shall follow their pernicious ways. Talking about that type of jackbird right there.
Amen.
And he said, and they shall make merchandise of them.
Right. Amen.
What do you do with merchandise? You sell it and make money.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That's all that is, a money-making scheme, that big horse-faced grin of his.
Amen.
I would that God, I like to get on there one time and preach on that. You got to get through. This is one time God asked for. Don't ever want to go back. They wouldn't want me back anyway. I had one, just give me, say, Brother Duncan, you come on now, take all you want and preach. Oh, glory to God. I put about 7 of my hardest sermons together, preach them all. Amen. Preach them all. Amen. Holy Ghost will do a work then, I'll sure you. You say, preacher, why are you preaching so hard for? Because I have hard-hearted, hell-bound sinners to preach to, that's why. Then secondly, I have a hard-hitting devil to deal with. A hard-hitting devil to deal with.
Right, amen.
I tell you right now, old Satan don't pussyfoot around with you, buddy. He'll beat you up in a heartbeat.
Right.
Amen.
Sure
he don't now.
Amen.
He'll wear you out in a heartbeat. He won't apologize for it either.
Right.
Boy, I watched that football game. You knew I'd get into it, didn't you? You knew somewhere I'd bring it into my message, didn't you? I watched that football game between Kentucky and LSU, top seed of the nation. Son went into triple overtime.
Mm.
I guarantee you that defense on Kentucky could go through that wall there. I guarantee you they take off and tear that wall down. Suddenly they was carrying them LSU players off like they were on a battlefield. They were on a battlefield. I like to beat them to death. What are you talking about? Hard hitting, that's what I'm talking about. Well, I'm talking about a hard hitting devil to deal with. I had a cousin, my first cousin, Emerald Carter. Back when we were boys, I mean back when we were 17, 18 years old, we were rough as a cob. We were always in fights and stuff. But he could hit a man, I'm telling you, so hard, that he'd just, boy, he hit the ground that hard. I've seen him hit people with his fist, nothing but his fist. And Lord, they grab their heads and, oh! I mean, just knock them silly. He was a hard hitter. Now, he's with the Lord now. He died 53 years old, cancer. But he was a hard-hitting boy. He was a hard-hitting fighter, I'm telling you. And don't you think Satan ain't a hard hitter?
Right.
Amen. And you got to be hard with him. You got to preach hard to him. You got to let him know what's what.
Right.
What did I teach on Wednesday night? Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly places. We're seated in Jesus in heavenly places. So we've got to be at the right hand of the Father with him. And the Bible said that God had put everything under his feet. And if we're in Jesus and he's at the right hand of the Father, and we're in him and we're at the right hand of the Father, the devil is under our feet.
Right, preacher. Amen.
I guarantee you we need to put it on him, buddy, when we get a chance.
Yeah.
Amen. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You can put it on him. Let him know what's what. I mean, we need to attack him.
Amen.
We need to be the attacker. We need to be on attack all the time. We don't need to be on the defense all the time, the low down. They'll be on the offense.
Right.
Amen.
Most of these churches on the defense. They're afraid to rile the devil. They really are. Now you tell me what else is it if a preacher won't preach hard. Tell me he's not afraid to rile the devil.
Amen.
He's afraid his church fall apart.
Amen.
So he's afraid to rile the devil. He knows how the devil works with the flesh, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Well, where in the Holy Ghost? Now, let's give the Holy Ghost some credit.
Amen.
I guarantee you we can do all things by through Christ who strengthens us.
Right. Amen.
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 We've got a hard-hitting devil to deal with. In Ephesians 6 and verse 12, the Bible says, for we wrestle not or we fight not against flesh and blood. It's not flesh and blood that I'm fighting. It's a devil. It's a devil, buddy. And I stand up to him. Let him know I'm not afraid of him. Can you get up here and say, open your Bible to 58 verse 1. I'm going to try and preach. You like that? Hurry, open it up. I'm going to try to preach. Pray for me, please. I don't want to rile any of you. Please don't get mad if I preach. Please don't. If I hurt your feelings, I didn't mean to. I just want to preach.
Preach.
You want to preach like that? Huh? Oh, the devil would.
Sure he would.
Oh, that kid of the devil, that'd get a preacher like that. preachers down in our camp, he's not a preacher. One, he's a little bit shy and don't really get on. And I sandwich him between two of them preach. I do. I guarantee you, I cover him up. I do. I put one in front of him, buddy, that'll preach. One behind him. I always start off with a hard preacher and put one in front of him and sandwich him. Amen.
Yeah.
I tell you, you're fighting the devil down there when you're having a camp meeting. And when you're moderating that meeting, I mean, you're up there alone.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm telling you, you got to do the right thing, but the Lord or the devil will take over that meeting.
Right.
And he will.
Yeah. Yeah.
He'll take over the meeting if you don't watch him. Amen. In Zach, listen to this. In Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, here's a good scripture. Along that line of thought, it said, and he showed me Joshua, the high priest, that's the man of God, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus. Well, you see, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. Listen to this. And Satan said he was standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. What about that? Here's the man of God standing by the Lord, and here's the devil. You think that devil ain't brazen? He's standing over here at his right hand to resist him. He's going to resist him, but he ain't afraid of nothing.
Right.
I mean, he was there in the wilderness when Jesus came into the wilderness there, when the Spirit drove Jesus into the wilderness, and he was there trying to tempt the Son of God.
Right.
Amen. I mean, he has the audacity to try to keep trying to kill him, trying to get him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple and tempt God. And, I mean, he's brazen. And he's a hard hitter. And we've got to hit him harder. We've got to hit him quicker and harder than he can us.
Amen.
Old Nathan Bedford Forrest, the old Confederate cavalry general. He wasn't the greatest. Thomas Stonewall Jackson was the greatest. They're still studying his tactics right now at West Point. He'd been dead since 1862. But the old Nathan Bedford Forrest was a self-made millionaire. Of course, he wasn't self-made. He had about 1,000 slaves to make the form. But he built his own little army and incorporated it into the Confederate Army, his own cavalry. He had a great cavalry. Had about 2,000 men in his cavalry. And he said, they said, what do you accredit your success as a cavalry leader to? He said, the one that gets there the quickest with the mostest. I think that's good logic, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. The quickest with the mostest. Amen. And I studied his life and his military tactics because I'm a Civil War buff, and I studied mostly the Confederate side of it, some of the Union side, mostly the Confederate side of it because my people were Confederate. And I have learned, buddy, that there were some brilliant men, I guarantee you, in the Confederacy, and some great Christian leaders in the Confederacy. Now, you can't determine who's a Yankee and who's a Confederate today before they live in the North or the South, because a lot of the South move north, a lot of the North come south. You don't know where they're from. You know,
right.
You go back in their families and you'll find some that you think that are extreme Northerners. You'll find out maybe their people, their grandmother and grandfather, came out of Louisiana, moved to Ohio, or moved to Pennsylvania, or moved to New York, or moved to Minnesota. That's true.
Right, right.
That's fact. Amen. So we're not doing that. We're just looking at some things here concerning the hard-hitting devil that we have to deal with. Amen? And deal with him we will. I'll assure you of that. Then I've got another one here. You'll write them down. Somebody asks you, say, why does your preacher preach so hard? Well, you tell them why I preach hard. I'm giving you Bible, substantiate everything I'm saying.
Right.
Number three, I preach hard because of hard-headed Baptists in the church realm that I've got to preach to. Hard-headed Baptists in the church realm that I have to preach to. I preach the same anywhere I go. If I'm in a camp meeting down south or up north or wherever, if I'm preaching a service for a person, a revival, I preach the same way as I'm preaching right here. Because I know Baptists are Baptists. Amen. Some of them are saved, some of them ain't. So I preached all of them the same way.
Amen.
Just per chance one of them might be lost, I want to get them saved. Because
right.
The name Baptist ain't going to get you to heaven.
Right.
Amen.
Now, you might be Baptist in name and not saved. That won't get you to heaven. You've got to be born again. You
will
see the kingdom of heaven without Jesus.
Amen.
I'll assure you of that. Amen. I preach hard because of hard-headed Baptists in the church realm today. And boy, I'm telling you what, there's plenty of them. And I guarantee you the churches are full of them.
Right.
I mean, they're down on the man of God. They'll talk about they have the nerve to talk about the man of God like a dog.
Right.
They do. And treat him like a dog. Some preacher friends of mine just here lately have been treated awful by their congregations. Then asked to resign. I got one right here right right today, stand, he and his wife, Brother A.C. Durham, stand down here at our guest house, preaching for Brother Lamb down here at Pee Wee Valley this morning, filling in for him. Brother Lamb's out of town, I guess he's filling in for this morning tonight. Talk to him about his church of 43 years of pastoring it. 43 years, because he disciplined one wicked, vulgar girl in there that had gotten out and played the whore, and he disciplined her and churched her. Everyone turned against him, and he had to resign the mess to get away from it. I guess he just bought it, but he's just sick of it and tired of it. Treat him awful. Amen. He resigned it. They didn't make him leave, he just resigned it. Amen. And he knew if he stayed there. He knew by past experience it would get worse and worse and worse. And when you have been there 43 years, and he's 73 years old, I guess you just feel like, well, I'm going to back off for a while and somebody else finds it. Amen. Isn't it sad though how people are like, Brother Durham is one of the most meekest people you'll ever meet in your life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Just as sweet as he can be, any Brother Tom. You've known him a lot longer than I have. And he's a precious man.
Yes, sir.
You know what they wanted to do? They just wanted to show their behinds. That's all. They wanted to be in charge.
Right.
That's exactly usually what it is. Somebody raises their ugly face up at a man of God in the house of God, the one that's got the oversight of the flock. That's the devil in them. It's not necessarily them. The devil's using them. He'll take a weak vessel and he'll use them on things like that. Buddy, I guarantee if he starts using you, better back off and get yourself in the world. You might find yourself early dead, what you might find.
Right.
Amen. I'm telling you right now.
Right.
A man of God that is a man of God, you better not lay your hands on him. You better pray for him.
That's Bible.
And if you can't pray for him, pray for yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
You need prayer yourself. You can't pray for your preacher. You need to be praying for yourself.
Amen.
Pray for your preacher who's trying to be a pastor.
Amen, brother.
Amen. I dare say that Brother Durham was probably, outside of Jesus, the best friend that people had. And probably he still is. I'd say he probably prays for every one of them, doesn't he?
Yeah, right.
I'd say he does. Amen. But that's what we deal with today in a lot of churches today. It's awful. Brother Jim Gilbert, bad heart, had 2 or 3 heart attacks, had pastor from church there in Florida, and they locked the doors on him when they come back in. Didn't want him. Good preacher, good man. Got a big work going down in Okeechobee, Florida. Done great for the Lord.
Yeah.
Brother Hensley. I shared this week how they did him down in Campbellsville over a girl that had a baby out of wedlock. And they wanted to have a shower for her. You know what they want to do? They want to celebrate her having a baby out of wedlock. That's exactly what it matters to.
Right, preacher.
I'm not condemning the little baby. God love its heart. It's not his fault. That army woman. And that army man that she had the relations with.
Right.
Amen?
Amen.
I'm not condemning the little baby.
Right.
I guarantee you condone it when you bring them into the house of God. You have a house full of yellow baby shower for them.
Preach.
But a baby is born out of wedlock.
Right.
Amen.
He didn't want to do that. He said, man, we can't do that. That's not right. And his wife said, told the ladies, not. We can't do it. It's not right. You know what they did? They all went out and bought them a gift and come in and had the shower anyway, right in the church house. Mm-hmm. Pushed their way right in.
Right.
I don't know what I'd have done. I started throwing something. I don't know. I don't want to. I might be like Jesus and get me a little bull whip and start cutting the hide off of them and run out of house of God.
Preach.
That's what Jesus did.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, it comes to the place where they asked him to resign. And so he resigned. It's sad, isn't it?
Amen.
I guarantee you, it's hard to say what might happen to that bunch.
Yes, sir.
I'm telling you, no time will reveal what happened to that bunch. Judgment will reveal it one day.
Right.
I'll assure you of that. But in this life now, they're going to pay for that.
Amen.
They'll pay for it later too. And you know, people that'll do that to the man of God, sometimes I wonder if they're even saved.
Right.
I wonder if they're just not a bunch of those easy believism advocates that have made their little profession, never have had a possession of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And they're religious and lost. I dare say that people are all attacking the man of God. I don't believe they're saved. You believe what you want to believe.
Right.
I don't believe they're saved. They're supposed to be oriented by the Holy Spirit in them if they're saved. He's supposed to guide our steps, isn't he?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He's supposed to make the crooked ways straight and the dark ways wide.
Right.
Amen. And the Bible says in Psalms 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord.
Yeah.
Right. Well, how in the world can we say that God's ordering somebody to attack the man of God all the time?
Yeah.
I guarantee you, most of them aren't even saved.
Right.
Amen.
And that's what we got to go up against today. I'm talking about hard-headed Baptist church members. And the church houses are full of them today. Amen?
Amen.
Listen to what they how they talked to Jeremiah the prophet. Now, he was a weeping prophet. Well, if anybody ever had a heart for God's people and before the Lord, it was Jeremiah. Study the book of Jeremiah and the Lamentations. Why the book Lamentations? That's Lamentations means to weep, to be mournful. And that was all about his weeping for Israel. And then Jeremiah 44 verse 16 says, they said to him, said, as for the word that thou hast spoken, or as for the message that you preached, Jeremiah, I can just hear him now, can't you? Brother Jerry, as for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will not hearken unto thee. We're not going to do one thing that you told us we ought to do. We're not going to hearken unto you. Who do you think you are anyway? Oh, just a prophet of God, that's all.
Amen.
Amen. Just called, ordained, sanctified before he's ever conceived in his mother's womb. That's
Amen.
All. That's what the Bible says.
Yes,
ain't nothing.
Amen.
He really don't mount that hill of beans. You know, there's not a more important position on the earth than the church of Jesus Christ and the man of God.
Amen.
I guarantee you. You are elevated as high as you can go right
Amen.
Now in this life.
Amen.
You're a child of a true, born again, blood washed child of God. Why? You're already sitting in heavenly places.
Amen.
You can't get any higher than that. Astronauts have never been that high. Amen. Amen. They've never been that high. I guarantee you they haven't. You're higher than they are. I mean, you're already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Right, preacher.
Amen. The church and the man of God. Oh, and we dare speak out to the man of God. And I tell you, I've been at odds with some, even as a man of God, and I won't cut down on them or talk. I mean, I won't stand up to them and talk smart to them,
right.
Talk down to them. No, I fear God more than that. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, Paul speaking to that religious crowd of his day, he said, ye stiff-necked, are you talking down part, preacher? Look here. He said, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart. He said, in ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I've been in churches where you preach like this, and you tell me that will resist the Holy Ghost. Oh, I tell you what, it'll get so indifferent in there, it's hard to preach.
Amen.
I mean, the liberty just goes out the window, seems like. Buddy, you're left there alone on the platform to preach, and I'll guarantee you one thing, you better be a hard hitter in times like that. You better be prayed up, paid up, and ready to go up.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
You got the devil unleashed in the congregation at that time.
Amen.
They're not receiving what they're doing. They're resisting the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
I've seen people sitting and squirming with the teeth. You know what they're doing? They're resisting the Holy Ghost. God's working on them and they're letting their old flesh get the best of them. You know what they need to do? You know what you need to do when you like that? You need to get up. You need to get up and resist the flesh. Not the Holy Ghost. Resist the flesh. Hit that altar and get right with God.
Right.
Amen. Amen. That's what Paul's talking about. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised of heart and ear. You always resist the Holy Ghost. He went on and said, even as your fathers did, so do ye.
Right.
You're doing just like your old papa and your old granny did. I remember them too. And they resisted the Lord too.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Right.
That's the truth. That's the truth. Don't get mad now. I'm preaching hard. And I'm preaching.
Come on, preach.
I'm preaching Scripture.
Amen.
That's right. That's why I preach hard. Amen. You see, I'm going to give you four things quickly now, and I'm going to shut up. First of all, hard preaching produces separation. It does, I'm telling you right now. Well, there's no, listen, you go into these churches where there's no separation, there's no hard preaching.
Amen.
I guarantee there's no hard preaching. Well, there's no separation. You go into a church and where half the women sitting in there with those tight pants on, come on now. That's the truth. I've even seen them. I live in Staten Island, New York City, and they come in and slorts and sit across from me there, Brother Andy. You remember that one over there? That preacher didn't get up and preach out on hard. He didn't preach hard. He didn't preach out on things that need to be preached out on. That's right. Even the pastor's wife wore pants. And his daughter wore a pair of tight Levi's. God is my witness. She was about 14, 15 years old. And you could have stuck a pin in and she would have exploded on her. That probably took out half the congregation. I'm telling you. That's the truth. I guarantee you, when there's hard preaching, you won't find that.
Right.
Right.
You don't find it there, do you? Huh? Well, I can take you to some churches and show you plenty of it. But you'll never hear that preacher preach on it. He's afraid. Oh, I don't want to talk about their clothing. That's not what we need to talk about. We need to preach Jesus. Jesus. Lord Jesus. What do you think Lord Jesus wants you to preach on?
Amen.
Amen. Read your Bibles. Find out what God wants you to preach on. Hard preaching, I guarantee, produces a break. You take a man or a woman out of a church that's loose, and they leave. They've been there for 10 years, and they've done everything in the world. And they come into this church over here, and they come in, and they're wearing all that junk that they wore at that other church. That preacher's got any sense about him. You know what he'll do? He'll preach hard. He'll watch how he preaches. But he'll preach hard. And he's already preached hard, and he'll look around and see the crowd. If they come along, they'll conform, I guarantee, the way God wants them to. And they'll start dressing the way God wants them to. Y'all hear that? Say amen.
Amen.
The fruit, they'll change. Yeah. The old preacher will see him out on the street and say, Lord, I thought you were Amish. I never see you wear clothes like that before. She'll probably say, well, I never hear you preach on things that my preacher preaches on before either. That's why I didn't wear them.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
The fruit.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. It's the fruit. That's if you listen now. That's if you don't resist the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I preach on faithfulness all the time.
Amen.
Old Brother Roloff used to say, you'll never be fruited until you're rooted.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're not going to get rooted, I guarantee you, in the house of God unless you're faithful.
Amen.
So you're not going to have any fruits.
Right.
Amen. You can't go over here at Walmart and buy you an apple tree and take it home, throw it down on the ground, water it on top of the ground. Well, it's not going to do a thing but wither up.
Amen.
It's got to be rooted, doesn't it?
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's got to draw sustenance from the earth. You can't be, listen, you can't be unfaithful to the house of God and draw any sustenance from the Lord. You can't do it.
No, sir, brother.
I guarantee you, I want to get all the sap I can from heaven, don't you?
Amen.
I want to be rooted and fruited both in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I guarantee you, hard preaching produces separation where you can get rooted and fruited. Then I found also that hard preaching produces examination. It does. The Bible said examine yourself. See whether you be in the faith or not.
Amen.
And a man of God that will stand up and preach the way he's supposed to preach and reveal things from the Word of God to the people of God, I guarantee you that they'll begin to examine themselves and to examine their hearts themselves. The Holy Spirit will help them. And they'll perform a spiritual examination on themselves.
Right.
Because of the preaching that's taking place.
That's right. You're right.
Amen. That's what it's all about. That's why they had such great results years ago with those tabernacle meetings with Billy Sunday and Sam Jones and Mordecai Ham. They'd go in and build a big tabernacle, seat 5,000. They'd preach for 6 months or a year every day, 4 times a day, 7 days a week. You're talking about some examination going on.
Right. Amen.
People dumb, boy, and listen to the Word of God, preached every day and examined themselves and hit that old altar and get right with God. When they left, the taverns would shut down, the barkeepers would get saved, and men would get saved, become good husbands and daddies. Oh, God, that's what we need today.
Amen.
We're settled back on our knees around here, and the alcohol's come into Oldham County, and the stinking lottery's in, and having the blasted Baptist play the thing. I'll sure you
right.
do.
Amen.
Hope none of you all do. Woe will be on to you if you do.
Sir.
Amen. Now this low down, stinking, good for nothing excuse of a human being that's running on the Democrat Party, trying to get gambling boats, and he gets in. I'll sure there'll be gambling boats on the Cumberland Lake. There'll be gambling boats over here on the Kentucky side on the Ohio River. They'll have them everywhere. While they'll put them on my pond, they get them there.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Wickedness.
Yeah. You're right, preacher.
Well, that's wickedness.
Amen.
Examine ourselves, see where we're taking a stand against things like that or not.
Yes, sir.
By the way, I preach this to my family all the time.
Amen.
All I can do to them is preach to them, talk to them, pray for them, just like I do you.
That's right.
Amen.
I don't have no more force over them than I do you. Now, if there were children back home with me, I guarantee there'd be more force.
Right.
I'll assure you that. They'd wire and they'd go and I'd tell them. Yes, my wife, anybody that's known me all my life, I took charge of my home. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Sure you that. I said hard preaching produces separation. It produces examination. And thirdly, it produces extermination. Hard preaching will exterminate, buddy.
Yeah.
Just here a while back, we had ants all locked up in here and the whole fountain back here were covered with ants. I was reaching down to get a drink of water, and they were all over my hand. I thought, what in the world? They were everywhere. Somebody brought a sack of candy in back there and filled my candy bowl up back there, a mint bowl, we'll keep peppermints back there for anybody comes in and study. And I come in on there and started getting me, and it was full of ants, full of ants. Man, we were just invaded by ants. So we called the exterminator. Called Jerry Martin. We've been dealing with Jerry 20 years. He does all the exterminating for us every year. He exterminates this building, all of our cabins, our guest houses, everything, dining hall, every year. Spray and treat it every year. If we didn't, we'd be eating up.
Mm-hmm.
Right. We'd have bugs galore. Amen. We'd have ants. We'd have roaches and everything in the world running around. That's right. That's the truth. You can just go back to the woods, but they've got bugs in these woods here that look like prehistoric monsters. Big bugs, that big around, hard shell, got big eyes, protruding eyes. One time I'm telling you the truth, Brother Tom, on the end of the dining hall, Jim, you remember that? We put that security light like an idiot right on the end of the dining hall of the porch. There were bugs that deep out there tonight, and some of them would look like small elephants, I'm telling you. Scariest looking bugs I've ever seen in my life. I said, we're taking that thing off there immediately, buddy.
Amen.
And they come out of these hollers here. Well, Jerry came out here with his spray, buddy, and he sprayed it down, and the ants are gone.
Amen.
Hey, that's what preaching is. It's just an exterminator.
Right.
That's right. Load that thing up, buddy. Blow my spray up with that gospel DDT.
Yeah. Show us, brother. Show us.
I hear pulling spray on I'm telling you. I'm going to put it on you. Spray. Spray all of us. Amen.
Spray it down, brother. Amen. Yes, amen.
And just rid of those things that need to
be done with it.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, I guarantee you, as a man of God, over the last 7 or 8 years, I've had to give you some things myself. I've had some exterminating to do in my own life as a man of God. When I got out and seen some of these other preachers and the stand they were taking, I've had some things God put me to exterminate myself.
Amen, preacher. Amen. Good preacher. Yes, sir, brother.
God help us.
Good preacher, brother.
It produces separation, examination, extermination. Thank God, consecration.
Yeah.
Amen. Hard preaching produces consecration.
It does.
That's what we need. We need people to be consecrated to the cause of Christ.
Right.
Consecrated to the church, to the witness of the Word of God. We don't have that many do that. They want to do their own thing. Some of you have never been on Tuesday night for visitation. Some of you ladies never come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday nights. But you can find time to do everything else.
Right.
Mm. You can't find a little time to give to Jesus. To come back here and sit with these other three or four ladies that are faithful to come every week. And pray for those that are out visiting. Pray for lost people. Don't you see how important it is?
Amen.
All these things go together. Separation, examination, extermination produces consecration.
Amen.
You leave off on those other things, you're not consecrated to the Lord. You're not. I'm looking you right in the face, you're not.
Amen.
You're going to be sorry for it one day. And your child grows up and says, gets on this, nah, I don't want to go to church, Mommy. Nah, I'm going to the ball game tonight, all right? Blame yourself.
Amen.
Blame yourself. Amen.
Amen.
It's the truth. It's the truth. You need to be here with your children. Your children need to be involved in everything we have for the children here. You need to bring them. If you don't, it's your fault. You're the cause they're not here.
Amen.
They come if you can. If you told them to come, they come. Get them involved while they're little. Get yourself involved. You'll be here for every service. You'll be here for everything. Amen.
Amen.
And so don't you think Jesus is worth it?
Yeah. Yes,
don't you have any faith in our church at all? Don't you believe in what we're trying to do here at Good Shepherd Baptist Church? That's the reason why you don't want to take part in the things that we set up here.
All right. Amen.
I go to a lot of trouble, and many go to a lot of trouble to have these meetings. And some people never come to them. 5 years now I've had this meeting, this men's meeting. I call a father and son meeting. I'm going to change that. I'm going to call a men's meeting next year. Mike, and bring your sons if you want to. They've got to be 10 years older enough. That's what I'm going to call them. A word of father, a men's meeting. Bring your sons if you want us. Bring your sons if you want to. They've got to be 10 years older or up. Amen. I'm going to do that. Because you know why? Because the devil had one says, well, I didn't think you'd come if you didn't have a boy. Mm-hmm. You think the devil will do that?
Yeah.
I'm not going to give place to him. I'm going to change that. Holy Ghost spoke to me about that. But we had that last year. We had a fairly good crowd. This year we didn't have very many at all. But I'm going to tell you, the preaching was just as good, and the fellowship was just as good as we'd have 1,000 here. That's not what I'm talking about, Brother Travis. It was wonderful. And I got a tremendous blessing out of all of it. And the ladies fixed great meals out there for us and everything. I mean, went smooth as could be. Just these low-down, unconsecrated preachers and their people. That's the problem right there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth. Yeah, I'm going to stop. I might ruin the whole message when I get ready to get into it. Amen. But that's why I preach hard.
Amen.
And I pray that you've got that down pat.
Yes, sir.
This morning. Amen. Pray that God's spoken to your heart with it.